Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to and hopefully enjoy. So starting off with a few little notes, thanks for all of the feedback and other stuff that I get by email, luke@juggler.net if you want to send me questions or feedback. I do reply to every email. I'm a little bit behind in some of the emails at the moment, but I will catch up with them. But there is one bit of email feedback that I got, which was very very interesting and very important to me, for me to share this, because back when Juliana and I were doing the Solaris episode, the most recent Solaris episode, I talked about the direct from... direct from Polish to English translation was much, much better than the Polish to French to English translation, which is how Solaris by Lem was first published in English. And I said that you could only get the direct English to Polish translation by audiobook from Audible, and it turns out that's not true. There is actually an ebook version of that. If you go to Amazon.com and look in the Kindle store, you'll be able to find... the 2011 release of that as an ebook is the direct Polish to English translation. So if you're going to read that, don't buy a book. Don't just pick it up secondhand as a book. Don't read it as a paper book. Either listen to it as an audiobook or read the direct translation via ebook. So that's that. The next episode that Juliana and I'll do together is Rama, Rendezvous with Rama by Arthur C. Clarke, which I think is the first Arthur C. Clarke book that I'm going to review, mainly because I read pretty much all of his science fiction before doing this podcast and I haven't got around to rereading anything, so it's good to do some rereading of that novel. It's Juliana's first time reading it and we'll do a review, with no spoilers, non-spoiler kind of thing, of Rendezvous with Rama. She just finished that a few days ago, so we'll get to that soon. And also there's another book that I just finished a few days ago called... Shift, which is the follow-up to Wool by Hugh Howey. So it's like a collection of three short stories put together into the Shift omnibus. It's like a fix-up novel, but not really a fix-up novel, because it's actually saying, no, these really are three short stories, but yet they kind of depend on you reading the first one. So I'll be reviewing that. I'll probably review that tomorrow and upload it in the next few days. So on to today's topic, onto today's book, which is the first in a series, the first in an epic fantasy series by Stephen Erikson. The series is called Malazan Book of the Fallen, or A Tale of the Malazan Book of the Fallen, you know, depending on what you want to do. I guess the tale is the Gardens of the Moon, which is this book that I'm going to be talking about today. And it's, of course, this is the first novel in a series of 10 novels. I've got the Wikipedia page open here because this is going to come in really handy when I've got character lists, because there's lots of different characters in here. So yeah, lots of people were saying, hey, you want some good fantasy? Check out this book. And it was recommended by quite a few people on the podcast, but also around at the bookshop, the secondhand bookshop, which I go to pretty often, not to buy books. I give away my old new books or paper books there, but mostly I read ebooks and audiobooks at the moment. But when I do finish a book, I'd normally a paper book, I'd give it away there. And the owner of that bookshop, Sophie, she is very well read as a science fiction, not so much science fiction, lots of fantasy. And she always said, if you want to read a good one, this is the series. If you want deep, epic, gritty fantasy, do this. And when back in 2011, I think the last book in this series was published, which I will quickly pop across to Wikipedia. Yes, it came out in the 15th of February, and she was all excited. She says, yes, the last book is out 10 books later. It's taken 10 years or 11 years to get this far. This is out, so you should really check out this series. And I was like, okay, well, if this is someone who owns a bookshop with loads and loads of science fiction, loads of fantasy and all that kind of stuff, if she's going to recommend this this book or this series as the best fantasy series ever, I'll check it out. So I borrowed the first book in the series, the Gardens of the Moon. This was back in 2011, because I was like, well, it's good to start a series which has been completed. They've actually finished this series. Stephen Erikson has finished the series, so let's just dive into it. And so I started reading. And now, normally at this point of the review, I will take a break and then start talking about the world, and then talk about the characters, and talk about the story. And if it's a science fiction book, I'll talk about the different magic and all these battles and all that kind of stuff, and go by it section by section. But I think the best way to approach this review is to talk about my experience of reading the book. There's a, you know, doing the whole like narrative criticism or reader response criticism. And the reason I want to do this is because like now, I mean, like spoiler for the end of the review, I really, really enjoyed this book. But only once I got to the end of it, and then looking back, did I really enjoy the book. And now that I look back at the beginning of the book, I'm like, well, of course the beginning of the book was really good because it was setting up this and setting up that and setting up this. But that wasn't my experience reading it. And so, again, it's sort of like the whole idea of looking at a book like, okay, at the end of every page, stop. Say what you think. At the end of the next page, stop and say what you think. At the end of this chapter, stop and say what you think of the book. And you actually get like a real, you know, like how the reader is responding. Because when you look back at the whole thing, you have a different opinion of the beginning. And of course, this is done quite well with, you know, with book series. You'll read the first book and you're like, oh, this is great, and read the second book, oh, this is great, read this, you know, if you, or like TV series, you get to the end of Lost and you're like, well, I really enjoyed season one of Lost, but then you get to the end and you're like, oh man, the whole thing was terrible, the whole thing was a waste of time. And also movie series as well, like Star Wars, when the first Star Wars came out, you're just like, well, this is obviously a story of Luke and the bad guy is Darth Vader and all that kind of stuff. And you know, in the first movie, Darth Vader is not Luke's father. I mean, it's pretty clear there's nothing there. Luke's father is a different character, Darth Vader. And then when the second, I am your father, but there's this really great speculation, this article that I read, which was printed in like the 1980 or something like that, or 1981 or something, before Return of the Jedi comes out. It's like, well, how is it going to work out? Who is Luke's father? And it's just a fantastic bit of speculation. It's like, well, obviously Boba Fett is Luke's father, and but because there's Clone Wars, Boba Fett, and all this, you know, and it's bringing it in, and it's like, oh yeah, and this, and obviously Luke's father, Anakin Skywalker, he was a pilot, and he was the pilot of the Millennium Falcon back in the day, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Millennium Falcon was once Obi-Wan Kenobi's ship, and there's loads of really fun stuff in there, but you can only get that before Return of the Jedi. And then of course when the prequels come out, you have a different view of it, and it's all, you know, instead of it being Luke's story, it becomes Anakin's story and how it becomes Darth Vader. Yeah, so there's all these different ways, but if you actually get what people's responses are at the time, it's always a different response than you'll have at the end of the complete saga, or if you get to the end of a book, what you think about at the end of the book. So I just want to say, like, when I first started reading this book, like, chapter by chapter, like, the first chapter starts, and it's a bit of setup, and I'm like, okay, so there's a guy, is he going to be the main character? I guess this is the main character guy, and there's this young guy, and he's like, I want to be a hero, and someone turns around and says, you'll grow out of it, you don't really want to be a hero, and I was like, oh, that's a great line, and you get these bits of poetry, and these, you know, these, is it epigraphs or something, anyway, before the, before each chapter, and I was like, well, I don't understand anything that's going on there, and then these characters come together, and you're like, okay, different characters, and then it skips forward another 2 years, and you're like, oh no, like 7 years, and you're like, oh okay, so now we're forward another few years, and then another few years before, and I was like, okay, there's a lot going on here. And there was these hounds, and they release these hounds, and they slaughter a village, and you know, this is not really spoilers, I'm doing right at the very beginning, and then this guy comes along, and then this portal opens, and they get transported through here, and I was thinking, well, is that transported through time, or is it just transported through this? And then there's this thing called a warren, and I was like, okay, so a warren is where magic comes from, but then there was these gods, and there's these other people, and you're like, well, are these gods because they're inhabiting this person, or is this a demon, and they're demon possessing this person here? And there was just so much going on in that first chapter. I was just like, well, this is a lot on my plate. I'm not really sure if I can deal with this. It felt like I'd started like halfway through a series. I was just picked up in the middle of the book, and I understood that, okay, that's what this book is going to be. It's going to throw you in at the deep end, and that's it. And then the next chapter skips forward a few years, and there's this big battle the Malazan Empire is taking over a new continent, and as it's coming through this new continent, it has to destroy these cities, or not just destroy these cities, but it has to capture these cities and destroy the enemies. And the Malazan Empire has got mages, and these mages are doing this mage battle against this moon spawn. And I was thinking, well, are these dragons or what? And it's not really described, or it is kind of described, but it's described from the point of view of the people taking part in the battle. And these people taking part in the battle are kind of just really concerned about what they're doing themselves, and like, well, let's go here, and oh, there's this battle, and there's this thing. And I was reading this, and I was like, well, first of all, it seemed to be told out of order. It was like, now here's the aftermath of the battle, and now let's flash back and see the battle again. But as I was reading it, I was just like, is that what's really happening? Because that's not really clear. Like, this guy just died, or we've been told this guy has died, and now here he is back again, and now he's being killed again. So, like, it was just one of those things. It's like this, and this other mage is here and stuff. And then there was this magic battle, which is pretty much the most epic magic battle I've ever read about. Literally, entire armies are just being swept off the map. And again, not really spoilers, because this all happens in like the first or like the second chapter or something. Massive epic thing, and then the battle ends, and then I was thinking, well, is this the end of this battle, or was this another battle, or is this a new thing because of this weird timing thing? And then I was reading, okay, well, this battle is finished, but I can't, like, who won the battle? Because the people, like, this other guy retreated, but the cost was so high that this entire army is wiped out. But it seems like this mage survived, and this mage, like, released these other things and going on. And I was just reading it thinking, like, I don't know who won this battle. It's like super epic magic battle, like the most epic battle ever. And I was just like, what's going on here? And then once that battle was over, then some cool stuff happened. There was a mage who died, this psychopathic insane mage who died, and then there's somehow they put his soul into a puppet, and then there was this puppet, and I was thinking, well, so you can die, but then you can be brought back to life and put into a puppet, and then this puppet does weird crazy stuff throughout the book. And then there's this other thing, and then the female mage whose name is it Taishuan? No, let me bring up the Wikipedia page here so I can bring up who is it. No, Taishuan is the high mage, and then Tattersail, that's it. So she's like the second. She's like the second most powerful, and she managed to survive this battle, and all of the other mages are killed, except this guy who was the Hairlock, who was this guy who was survived that battle. And then she starts playing this game, and she's doing out, it's like a tarot card deck, and as she's putting them out, you know, and there's another guy there, and they're like, well, what are you going to do, and how is it? And I was thinking, well, is she controlling, like, is she, like, reading what's going to happen in the future, or what's happening in the present, or is her playing the cards controlling what's going on? And I was just like, well, I'm not really quite sure how this is going on. And then the main character, like, one of the main characters dies, and I'm like, oh, I thought he was going to be the main character, and now he's not the main character anymore. What's going on here? And then, like, that's it. And I was like, oh, so this is going to be a bit like, you know, your George R. R. Martin, that he's going to make it, you're going to think someone's the main character and then kills them off, and then think someone else, oh, this must be the main character, and then kills them off. But then, like the other guy who was brought back to life, this person is suddenly brought back to life, and you're like, wait, how? Oh, okay, so I guess if you die, you can come back. And it felt very much like one of these Dungeons and Dragons campaign where you're like, okay, do a saving roll, get your second wind, and it's like, well, you're dead and you're unconscious on the floor, but if you roll if you roll a 20 or whatever it is, I don't know, never really played Dungeons and Dragons, but you know, you pick these things up, and it's like, okay, well, that's it, so you can bring them back to life again, you win. And I was like, well, is it a bit like that? And then, because I was reading this book, this paper book 2 years ago, back in 2011, I was just got to that point, and then suddenly that kind of book, that section, that collection of chapters ended, and then it was like, okay, and now we move to a city called Darujistan, and this has not been conquered by the Malazan Empire, and here's all these other characters, and yeah, the Malazan Empire is going to do this, they're going to go there and try and sort of the bridge burners, which is this like engineering group, which is going to, you know, they tunnel under the city to get into the city and do all that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, and then there's other characters. Oh, this young guy, I guess he's now the main character, is he? No, not really sure. And there's this other guy called Cropper, who is a very interesting character. And it's like, well, there's obviously more going on with Cropper than we think. And there was this another guy called this guy who just listened to stuff. And then there's this mage, there's another mage, and then an alchemist, and a politician, and a woman, and then lots of assassins, and then more mages, and then more assassins, and then another kind of assassin group, and then there's this other faction. And And it got to the point I was just reading this going, wow, this book is being bogged down. I thought the story was going to be about this guy over here who died, but it's not about him. But then it must be about this other group of people, like this this group of adventurers called the Bridgeburners, who are part of the Malazan Empire, but, you know, not really sure if they're loyal to the Emperor, if they're loyal to the guy. And then it gets through. And then I was just like, you know, and then one day I was reading in bed and I fell asleep reading it in bed. And then the next day or the next evening when I was going to read, I just looked at the book and was just like, you know what? And then I just picked up another book and started reading that. And I was like, I'll go back to the Crippled God, you know. No, not the Crippled God. That was the last in the series. What's this book? Gardens of the Moon. I'll go back to the Gardens of the Moon and I'll read it sometime. And then I just didn't do it, and I didn't do it, and I didn't do it. And then I got some messages, you know, via emails, and people saying, oh, it's here, look, there's this thing in your Goodreads list. It said that you're still reading it, but you've not updated it. You've only got 30% of the way through. You've not updated it for ages. And I was like, yeah, I'll get back to it. Never got back to it. And then a few months ago, I was like, hey, there it is on Audible. And on audiobook. And I was like, well, often if I'm not enjoying a book, or I don't think I'd enjoy a book, like if I get it as audio, so I don't actually have to physically sit there and hold the book in my hand and read it and go through it all, I thought, well, I'll just read it again, but not read it myself, I'll listen to it. And this, for me, was a really good idea, because I didn't have to then keep track of all these different characters, because just going through some of these characters from this list, so you get across to Gerudistan, there's Crocus, Krupa, Col, I know this is a bit weird to say, but Krupa, Col and Crocus, it's these names aren't always that easy to tell apart. You've got the in other places you've got the Lorn, the Lassine, the Taishran, the Tattersail, the Topper, the Tok, the Younger, and there's lots of different names. Not very easy to tell apart some of these things as I'm reading it through. So suddenly this other character will turn up and I was like, oh, did we meet this character before or not? Because some of the characters stand out. Some of the characters are really interesting. For example, Topper is No, is it Topper? Yeah, Topper's interesting. Crocus is good. Krupa is, and stuff like that. And is it Krupa? Yeah, Krupa. And there's a few of these. Sorry is great. Quick Ben, Whiskey Jack. There's like most of the main players are actually quite distinctive. And you're like, when they turn up again, you're like, oh, right, okay, I know this guy. I know his job. I know his role here. I mean, or his position in the army or what he does. And then you recognize them and they come back. But so many of the other players, like some of the other mages and these other people, like even in the Empress, I didn't realize that the Empress was also Lassine and also Surly, and it's the one that we met at the beginning, and then not. And it's like, well, what's she doing? And it's like, oh, and then, well, you know, she was once an assassin. And you're like, really? Oh, okay, like this. Now, and I understand now, the audiobook is of course the best way to do it, because the audiobook narrator, I have it here on my notes, his name is Ralph Lister, his name is, here it's in my notes, and I was very impressed with him because he had different voices from everyone. So you know, Whiskey Jack had one voice, and then Quick Ben, who is the Bridgeburners mage, he has a very high voice, and it's quite interesting because he is one of the most powerful mages, but nobody really knows how powerful he is. And the reason he's powerful is because we find out later why he's so powerful. And this is the thing, I started listening again, I think they actually swapped around, I mean, I'm not really sure, but it felt like this the mage battle at the beginning, this massive epic mage battle, I think they actually, maybe for the audiobook, I'm not quite sure, but or maybe it was just because it was the second time I experienced it. It felt like they'd actually done it in order, maybe swapped it around, or maybe I just picked up more clearly that it was a flashback. I can't remember exactly there. But going through it again, and suddenly all of the characters were a lot clearer, and, you know, the acting really brought the characters to life more than I think Stephen Erickson did just with the writing. And so I enjoyed that first chapter again, really interesting. Then we got to Gerudistan, and then as we were getting through, I was just like, well, where are the main characters? And I got to that 30% point of the way through the book, and I was just like, oh, well, Well, oh man, this is going a lot. This book is long. It's taking a long time, and I put this Goodreads update saying, well, I remember why last time I stopped at this point, and I was almost to the point of stopping again at that point. I was just like, well, it's just not very good. The story isn't going anywhere, and it's just not very good. And then, just past where I stopped reading the first time out, it switches back away from Darujistan and it picks up with our main characters again, back in Pale, the city of Pale. The bridge burners are there, these other characters are going there. It's like, okay, now we're going to Darujistan. I was like, oh, so that's what we need to do. That's what's happening. Of course, our main characters are like over here and these other main characters over here, the good guys over here and the other good guys, or is it the bad guys over here and the other bad guys over there? They're all going to meet up in Darujistan, and there's some plot machinations to get them, some of them there very quickly, and others take a bit longer to get there, and other people are following a horseback, and there's lots of space in between, and but some of them fly there on dragon, these huge dragonflies, and others walk, and other people go through tunnels, in the magic tunnels, the warrens and stuff. And then a big part of the book is just some characters getting from one place to the other place just by some of them are walking, like I say, and it's just like, oh, okay, now we need to get through this. Meanwhile, other stuff is happening over in Darujistan, and it's just like that. And then this other character turns up, and then another character dies and comes back to life, and another character dies and doesn't come back to life, and another character goes, well, what are you doing here? And then there's these more warrens open up, and then I realise, ah, okay, so the magic works through these warrens, but there can be new warrens, and there's other warrens, and this crow comes along, it's a talking crow, and then you find out there's an ascendant, and an ascendant is, well, what isn't ascendant? It's like, oh, an ascendant is someone who used to be human or used to be mortal, but has managed to get so much magic power. And again, anyone who's kind of read on in the series or has understood it or reread the book will probably have it this a lot clearer in their head. But for me, it was just like, okay, so an ascendant is someone who's got so much power that they managed to like live inside a warren or control a warren, or anyway, they become godlike. And then you're like, well, there's these new gods. And I was like, well, there's this shadow warren, this shadow thing, and it's the assassin's god, but then this is a new thing that's only come up recently. And I was like, well, what about these characters at the beginning? Do they have anything about it? Because they're shadow people as well. And, you know, and all the time I'm just trying to piece all this together because nothing is explained. And the reason it's not explained, and it took me like half of the book to work this out, the reason it's not explained is because most of the book is told quite like close third person narrative of, you know, not omniscient. It's you know, it's very, you know, you're in the character, well, not in the character's head, but you're looking over their shoulders as they go along. And most of the characters just don't know what's going on. Like some characters are going, oh, we haven't been in contact, so I guess we'll do this, right? Yeah, we'll do this, right? Okay. Okay, I guess, well, I'll see you there then. Okay, well, what about this? Is this guy a good guy or a bad guy? Not really sure. Maybe the whole idea of good guys and bad guys can't apply to this book. And then these other, you know, and nobody really knows what's going on. Nobody knows where the alliances are. People just don't remember stuff. It's like, oh yeah, we came here. This city was founded for this reason. Was it? Yeah, I think so. But where is the thing that it was done? Is it the gas underneath the city? Like that we can use these gas lanterns instead of, you know, because there's gas reserves? Or maybe this is... No, there was another thing. There was a thing over here that's buried over there. What's buried over there? I don't know. It was years ago. And just all the time, none of the characters really understand what's going on, which means that me as the reader, there's nobody ever like turns to the reader and goes, well, my name is Basil Exposition, and what I'm going to tell you now is going to be very important for later on. No, everything just comes in these details, and then you realise, and I was reading through, I was like, oh, that card game that Tattersail played at the beginning, that was really important, because now that explains this and explains that, and there's a coin and there's a sword, and those things, oh, that now makes sense a bit more, and there's this other one, oh, and this new warren that opened up that people are exploring that you're not really sure, oh, that's the same guy as this, oh, and this guy used to be the high priest of that, and it, like, all these different things come together, and I'm just like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, right back at the very beginning, these two characters talking there, he was in the bridge burner, so that might have been Whiskey Jack, or maybe it wasn't Whiskey Jack, or maybe it was Dujek, or whatever it is, oh, so that's that guy, and then this guy, and then all the time I was just like, oh, this was all set up at the beginning, was the card game, is it predicting the future, is it controlling the gods, or is it just a signpost that the gods are, controlling the card, you know, it's this weird thing, like, which way round does it go? But I'm like, oh, she stopped on Opon, nobody ever stops playing at Opon, she stopped on Opon, and now Opon, the god of luck, is going to be one of the main controlling factors all the way through this book. And when one of the main controlling factors is luck, good luck or bad luck, you know, never quite sure what's going on. It's like, yeah, when your luck changes, get rid of this coin. He's like, really, this coin? Yeah, when your luck changes, yeah. You know, and that was the experience later on. It was all these kind of clicking moments when I was like, oh, this makes sense of that whole passage at the beginning. Oh, this makes sense of that whole thing at the beginning. And then this character who was super important early on now isn't important anymore. It's like, well, maybe they'll come back in the next book in the series. But we're getting through to the end of this book. And the reason, another reason why I picked this book up again and started reading it again is because people said, oh, don't worry, that it's a, because one of the things is like, I'm probably not going to finish it. Like, I've got like a third of the way through the first book and there's another 10 books to go in this story. But I was told actually there's not another 10 books to go in the story. Each of the first five or six books are very self-contained books. They're all, you know, that they set up the characters and at the end, all of the characters are paid off. So then the next book starts again somewhere else in the Malazan Empire with a different cast of characters with a different self-contained story. So once I found that out, I was like, okay, I know that by the end of this, there's going to be some kind of resolution. At least, you know, the story is going to end, even if the characters continue through to the next one. And with that in mind, when I was pushing through to the end, I was like, all right, so now I want the good guys to win by the end. The bad guys. No, I want the bad guys to win, not the good guys. And then I was like, well, no, not that set of bad guys. And this is another Goodreads update, status update that I put in. I was like, I want the bad guys to win. No, not those bad guys, the other bad guys. No, not those bad guys, the other ones. No, not those, the other bad guys. Yeah, those bad guys. Those are the ones I want to win. And the complexity of everything's going on, you realize, of course, I've mentioned it a few times, there are no good guys, there are no bad guys. There are just like loads and loads of different factions. You've got the Moonspawn, you've got the, maybe I can actually again bring up the Wikipedia page. Yeah, you've got the Bridgeburners, you've got the Moonspawn, you've got the people in the Malazan, you know, the Claw Agents, which are like the spy network, you've got the Mages, you've got the people in Jerujistan, you've got the, you got these different things there because the councillors are doing something and the mages are doing something else and then this other guy is doing something else and there's the eel is another mysterious figure that's going on too, they're doing something too. There's the Circle Breaker and it's like, well, Circle Breaker, you never find out his names. Is he the eel or is he going to do something else? But he's a spy, but who's he a spy for? And then you've got the crows flying back and forth and I was like, well, this. And then you've got the Tista Andy, which is the like these dragons and there's a Moonspawn again, and then you've got all these other things, and you've got this thing that they're going to bring back to life from 150,000 years ago, 300,000 years ago, and there's just so much going on that I was just like, well, how is all this going to come together at the end? Like, who is going to be doing what? There's got another warlord over here, and there's a Crimson Guard, and then the Black Guard, and the Blue Guard, and the other things, these dragonfly riding things coming in. And all of these things together are just like, wow, this is going to be really impressive if Stephen Erikson manages to pull this off, manages to pull a satisfying ending out at the end of this book. And once I got like three quarters of the way in, I think like the pieces started falling together. And it's difficult to know because, again, the magic, you're never quite sure how powerful the magic is going to be. And like, okay, if you put any two magic people together, like this magic person and that magic person, what's going to happen? Like who would win out of them? And this is a cool thing. It's like there's this really interesting duel that takes place in the book, and one guy goes, I challenge you to a duel, and the other guy goes, great, that's what I wanted. And this other guy is so far superior with sword fighting skills that the duel is just over straight away. Now that doesn't work at all for in movies, because you need a duel to last quite a long time, and the only way to make these duels between outmatched opponents lasting a long time is that they go, ah, you're playing with me, sir. No, I'm not. No, well, it turns out I'm not left-handed. Turns out I'm not left-handed. You know, all these duels that go on, you need to make them last a long time for them to be to have any impact. And you know, like when Luke Skywalker faces Darth Vader for the first time, it could have been over straight away because Darth Vader was, you know, totally outmatching Luke at that point. But there's a reason why he takes so long to kill him, or not kill him, or reveal, spoiler. So in this sword battle, it's like, yes, and this guy, the duel starts and this guy wins. And it's strange. I just uploaded some some videos to YouTube of me playing Three Club Combat, and it's a juggling game where the last person juggling wins, but there's no other rules. So the idea is that you knock the juggling clubs out of the other person's hands or out of the pattern and stuff like that. And the players, I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, the players in Berlin are really, really good. The best players in the world come from Berlin. And when I was at the Dutch Juggling Festival, it was like I got through to the final of the Three Club combat tournament, and you know, it was one of those things that I could have won 5-0 in the final, but of course there was no way I was going to do that. I had to make it, you know, I wanted to make it dramatic and I wanted to make it exciting, and of course, so you make it, I tried to make it as exciting as possible in that way. So in a book, though, that can work out because you can spend a lot of time saying what's going through the people's heads, and you can spend a lot of time describing the action. It's not over too quickly. But then Erikson does, obviously, he does the same thing with the magic. It's like, okay, these two magic entities go up against each other. Here's the winner over here. And you're like, oh, that was really quick. Why did it take, like, how come it didn't take more time? And again, it's just that thing. Unmatched opponents, one will dominate the other one just straight away. And so once the dominoes start falling at the end of this book, it actually goes very, very quickly. It all comes together very quickly. And by the end of the book, I thought back about the whole story and I was like, that was a real experience. And it was an experience which is more than just sort of like me saying, now, what's the plot? Or who are the main characters? Or like, what is the world building like? I could have gone into all of those different things, but the joy of reading, or the excitement about reading this book, is coming to the realization that the book is not about the characters, it's not about the plot, it's not about the world, it's about all of these different, it's not even about the magic and all that kind of stuff, it's all of these things coming together in such a dense way, with so much going on. It feels so much more like a real world, like a real creation, that all these characters are just doing what they're just doing the best they can. They're doing everything they can just to get through, just not to die or to win or to betray the Empress or not betray the Empress or find the answer to this riddle or, you know, or hide the answer to this riddle or chase this person or protect this person. There's so many different threads throughout this book, so many different characters, that the interesting part of reading the book is the journey that you take, going, fucking hell, I don't know what's going on here. Oh, that thing. Oh, those two characters are connected. Oh, this guy and that guy, they knew each other before, and that's going to come in handy in 3 pages' time, and there it is. I knew it was coming, you know. And by the time you get to the end of the book, there's this twist with the bridge burners and what they're going to do, and then there's other characters, he's going to betray this other one, And I was like saying, oh, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Yes, that happened. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to... Oh, fuck. No, the opposite. No, not the opposite. Like, totally left field. And I know what's going to happen with this character. And this character's going to... Oh, they died. And this character is going to... Ah, you know. And that's... Again, that's what I really enjoyed about the book. By the time I got to the end and looking back to the beginning and seeing all of the things that were being put in place, literally on the first page, like the opening line on these opening scenes of the book, and I was like, oh, that was a bridge burner he was talking to. Even though I didn't completely keep... there's no way I noticed it on my first time reading it. And then even on my second time reading the beginning, I still didn't understand what was going on. Like, I understood more what I was getting into because I understood some of the references. With the cards that were being turned over at the beginning and how important that was. But then this other time I was reading, it's like, oh, this other card game that the other guy, what's his name? Let me quickly look up here. Fiddler and Hedge and Picker, they're playing this game, and I think Kalam is there as well, and they're playing this card game, and they're using the same magical card game pack, and this guy is just doing it, and it's like, wow, they're just making up the rules to this game as they go along, or are they? Or why does this guy know all the rules, and, you know, someone else, you know, the other Tattersail, is the mage who really does, she knows the rules, or she knows how to look at this deck of magic cards, deck of dragons, they call it. And she goes and sits down, and I was realizing, oh, this is the same. Well, it was weird that, again, it's difficult for me to actually kind of put into words what was going on there. And he was just like, yeah. And then as I'm playing, look, this is a new card in the pack. This never used to come up, but now it's coming out of the pack. And the first time I read that, I didn't understand it. The second time I read it, I was like, oh, that the House of Shadows or whatever it is, this other Warren that's opened up, that's coming in here, and that's the reason now that's in the deck. Like, that would never used to come up, even if it could have been in the deck all the time, or maybe it wasn't in the deck all the time, but now it's magically in every deck of dragons. Like, this card just materializes in response to this things that are going on in the Warren. Or maybe the card has been there all along, but just by it's when you shuffle the cards and start playing them, there's nothing random there. The only way you could ever play that card, how it could ever become visible from the pack, is because this new House of Shadows or this new thing has come up here. All of the riddles, all of the tricks, all of the things that Steven Erikson is doing throughout this book, I find fascinating. And it's again, there's not many books where I get to the end of it and go, oh, now let me read this again, except that I'm not going to read it again, because I do think there are massive flaws in this book. For a first-time reader, like, I didn't know what I was getting into, and there's no way that I can give this book a high rating, because I didn't get through it. You know, I started it, and I thought it was so bad that I almost gave up. I did give up once and didn't get through it, and was just like, one star, didn't really do it for me. I didn't understand what was going on. It was too much of a being thrown in at the deep end. The second time I started reading it, I had the same feeling. There is a lot of dragging through the middle part of this book. There are a lot of characters who are doing stuff, and it's like, if we're going to follow this character, they've got to do something good. They've got to do something interesting for this book. And there's a massive section in the middle where it's just like, and now this character is going to go from Pale to Jerujistan. And now this character is going to go from Pale to Jerujistan. And this character is going to come from Jerujistan out into the middle, and they're going to find something, and then they're going to go back to Jerujistan. And there's like this whole section in the middle of the book where characters are just like either traveling between cities or leaving the city and going back into the city. And the pacing really, really suffers. Even when, as I was enjoying it, even as I was enjoying, like, getting my head around the mysteries in this book, I was just thinking, this book is really long. It feels really long. Not boring, but just like, fuck, I've got, like, it's 27 hours or something as an audiobook. And I got through to, like, and I was like, oh, man, it feels like I should be coming to the end of the book soon. And I looked, I was like, 19 hours. I've still got another six, seven hours to go. Wow, this is going. And I carried on, and I just kept on plodding through it. And, the audiobook was good. The narration was great. And it did keep going through, but it just felt too long. And there's a lot of stuff that I just don't think is needed for this book. And I'm thinking, well, maybe these characters are going to come back in a next book, and some of them do survive through to the end and they're going elsewhere, and I'm like, oh, maybe the next book is going to pick up when these characters get to this other continent that they're crossing back to, the main continent of Malazan called the Seven Cities. And also, I think some of the character work is pretty bad. Like, these, not just so much like the characters turn up and disappear again, and you're like, well, was that an important character? Not really sure. But when they turn up again, it's only because the accents, like, I don't remember the names of the characters from one to the next, like from one appearance to the next. And I think it's because some of the main characters are very distinctive. A lot of the other characters, as I mentioned before, not very distinctive. Not only that the names aren't very distinctive from each other, but what they're doing seems to be replicated, and there's a few too many factions on each side. There's a Malazan Empire on one side, and then on the other side, it's just like so much is going on, and you're just like, I think they could have it could have done with just a few fewer factions in some ways. I don't want it to be simpler. I just want it to be tighter. I don't want to at any point be reading the book and thinking, fuck, this is a long book, you know. I don't want to be thinking, when will this book ever end? Even though when I got to the end, I was like, this is really good. And so it's quite dry at the beginning. There's not a lot of humor at the beginning. There are some bits and pieces where you're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's quite fun. But then it's weird, like about about half of the way through, suddenly it gets really funny, and these characters are saying stuff to each other, and I'm like, that's hilarious. And these other characters, you know, and again, I can't really bring up any of the examples of this off the top of my head. You know, I didn't make a note of any individually, but these characters are doing stuff together and saying stuff together, and maybe it's just because by then I understood enough about the characters and enough about the world that I understood the humor of the world. Maybe if I go back and and read the book again or listen to the audiobook again, I'll be able to pick up a lot more humor at the beginning, which I didn't. But it did feel like it took a long time for the book to gain any levity. Before then, it was people in a dark fantasy, well, not dark, but like this gritty fantasy, and they're going rah, 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 and magic and ponderous, and then halfway through it's only like, and now levity, and these characters are getting on and they're going to do this stuff, and this character's going to just say something funny, this character's going to do something funny, and this character's going to respond over here. And I was like, well, where was all that levity at the beginning? That would have been really nice to have near the front, except for that one joke. I want to be a hero one day. You'll grow out of it, son. There wasn't a huge amount of like levity or lightness at the beginning, but then it did turn up, so it felt really imbalanced in that way. So there's a book that I read and reviewed once, and again it was a book that I did the same thing. I read part, I read like not half of it, about a third of it, and was just like, can't be bothered with this anymore. And then when I went back and I picked it up again and I managed to read through the end, I was like, why did I ever put that book down? That book was really good. It's a book called Eiffelheim. And I think I've mentioned it before that this is a book where now that I look back, I'm like, oh, that's a really good book. I really enjoy it. Why? Like, of course, if I was going to book Matt, I probably rated it like 4 stars. And then I actually look back at the episode list. Maybe I'll just type it in here. I hit the wrong keys. Let me do this again. Control F and find Eiffelheim. Yeah, I gave it 2 stars at the time because, like, there was so much bad about that. Like, if I ever read a book and I just put it down halfway through and just don't get back to it for a year, it can't be a well-constructed novel. There could be a good story in there could be some characters in there, but as a novel, like, if your book makes me do that, and Eiffelheim, I don't remember all the stuff that I didn't like about it. I can't think it's so bad. But then actually when I go back and read it, or when I actually went back and looked at it, I was like, oh, this is terrible. It just ruins the novel. And so that's it with this. No matter how high my opinion is of the world that is being constructed and all the interesting stuff that goes on in Gardens of the Moon, I can't really give it a high rating because it was just difficult to read. Like, it was a slog. And not difficult as though, ah, oh, well, I've got to get through this book and there's the author is playing tricks on me and it's like an interesting mystery or an interesting exploration, or there's these different things to find out, and until you get this, when you get the key to it, it'll be, everything will come together. There was all of that, but also I just think it was pretty roughly written, badly constructed, and massive pacing issues. And the way that swapping between characters at the beginning, where it's not even that you're not quite sure who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, that's not so much of a problem. It's just that I was cut across this other place. It's like, why should I care about these characters? And here's another set of characters. Why should I care about them? And if it takes half of the book for me to realize why I should identify or connect with any of these characters, and why I should care about them, when they die, they can just be brought back to life. And that happens a number of times in this book, that death isn't permanent. It's like, well, where is the sense of danger? Why should I care about what happens to these guys in the future? If they die, they can be brought back. Or if anything bad is going to happen to them, a god is just going to come out of the woodwork and say, actually, you're not going to die. Or we're going to save you at the last second because we favor you. As gods, we favor you. And by the end of the book, you understand what's going on. You understand the rules of the world and why that can work. But if it takes if it takes 14 hours or like 13 hours of an audiobook for me to get to the point where I understand why the book can work, and up until that point think the book isn't working, there are major flaws there. A backwards review. Now, I would say, yeah, definitely read this book. It's going to be hard at the beginning, but stick with it and you'll can get through it. But I know that it's not going to be for everyone. In fact, it's not going to be for most people. You've got to be, I'd say, pretty much into fantasy hardcore to read this book and get a lot out of it. Otherwise, so much stuff would go through. So, because I'm doing this this review to wrap it... Oh, and I'll give the book 3.5 stars. That's what I'm going to say. It could have easily been... or maybe 3 stars. Yeah, I'll give it 3 stars. But, like I say, when I got to the end, if I just had the experience, if I was just going by if I was just doing the rating just by what I felt like when I turned that last page, it would have been like a 5-star book, because when I hit that last page or that last few minutes of the audiobook, I was just like, yes, that's really good, really good. But there was a lot more to it than that, and I can't rate the book so highly when the enjoyment only pays off in the last quarter of the book, and it's a big slog to get there. So doing that, then feedback of other people. Someone said, hey, did you know that Malazan, the whole Malazan series, is based on a role-playing campaign, or there were these, the Malazan world, it says here on Wikipedia, the Malazan world was co-created by Stephen Erickson and Ian Cameron Esselmont in the early 80s as a backdrop to their GURPS role-playing campaign. And I was like, now that makes a lot of sense. And you realize that they did this in the early 80s, so they had 10 years of world building, and not just one world building, like one person doing the world building, but two people doing the world building, so they can bounce ideas off each other, get the good ideas, make the history. Both of them can contribute to this, you know, 300,000-year history. They've got all these, they can make up their own characters, not just their own characters, but whole races. I didn't even mention the different races in the book. I guess I mentioned the dragons and stuff, but there's just so much going on here. And it says they collaborated on the storyline for the entire 15-book project, because Stephen Erickson wrote books, and then Ian Cameron Esselmont has also written books, five books, I think it says here. Novels of the Malazan Empire by Ian Cameron Esselmont. They're still in progress, and some novellas, and then some, I guess, short stories, or this other trilogy of stuff going on here. So that makes a lot of sense, and you really do get that depth that these guys have been playing in this world from the early 80s all the way through up to, 99, when this first book was published, even though it seems like it was written a few years before, and then it was, like, redone. And so that's good. So I guess it's interesting that that idea can work, but just because you can run a good role-playing game, or you can write a good world for other people to play role-playing games in it, Dungeons & Dragons or GURPS or whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you're a great author, and I think that shows through in this book. However, another bit of feedback said, other people who messaged me on goodreads.com when I was doing this, the status updates, they say, why, like, if I was going to tell anyone to read this series, I say I wouldn't start of Gardens of the Moon, because it's the, of all of the novels, it's the least good. It's not very good. And because the stories are told, I'm not sure if they're told out of order, but they're all self-contained stories. He says, why, you should really start with book two. Book two and I think book five, there's someone said, I can't remember, I don't have the messages over, but they say those are the two best novels in the whole series. Maybe start on book two if this thing appeals to you, if this kind of thing appeals to you, but you want to have a better written book, maybe check out book two in the series, which is called Dead House Gates. Dead House Gates is like Gardens of the Moon. It says, oh, gardens, they're nice, isn't it? Gardens of the Moon, that's nice. And then, when, of course, you'll understand the title of the novel when you get through to the end. But it sounds quite nice, Gardens of the Moon. Although Book of the Fallen sounds bad, but Dead House Gates, that's more of a grim sounding novel for a grim world to live in. Although it's not that grim in some ways, it actually sounds like quite a nice place, but you're never quite sure what you're going to get. And I'm sure there were some other bits of feedback that people said about this as well, but I can't remember them off the top of my head, and I don't have, I'm not connected to the internet at the moment, so I don't have them here in front of me. So yeah, I think I've gone on long enough about this. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover. This has been a different kind of review. I've not kept everything together, but I really did want to talk more about my experience of reading this book rather than, like, now that I understand everything that was going on in the book, or now that I have a full view of all the stuff that was going on in the book, now I can split it up and section it off and keep it all neat, and this is the plot and this is that, because that's not what this book is about, as I mentioned before. So hopefully you've enjoyed this review. Email me, luke@juggler.net, if you've got any feedback, general feedback, or if you want to comment on my review or comment on this book as well. The best thing to do is to go over to goodreads.com. You can either comment directly on my review of the book on Goodreads, or you can comment on any of my status updates, or maybe if you want to, check out the SFBRP listener group on Goodreads, and you can start, if you want, you can start a discussion about this. Oh, that was what I was wanting to talk about. Yeah, someone else sent me a book saying, hey, there's a reading group on Goodreads, which is, we're going to be rereading, or reading for the first time, some people reading for the first time, other people rereading the whole book, and they're going to discuss it chapter by chapter, book by book, as they go through. So I checked out the first few chapters and the discussion on these first few chapters. You know, there's like 100 messages, 100 comments in each one of these things. So I didn't continue reading it. But it's funny to see other people, like, in a way, doing the same thing as I just did in this review. This was one of the inspirations for this review as well, that you can see people reading it for the first time, and they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on, this is really confusing, and oh, I'm not really sure, you know, and then they, like, the next chapter, well, is this person important, what's going on? And then they get to the point, oh, I thought he was going to be the main character, but now he's died, oh, I should really pity that he's died, because I thought, oh, he's died and stuff. And you see the people who are reading it for the second time going, oh, wow, this is amazing. This line is super important. And I read it and go, yeah, that line is super important for later on in the book. And other people go, this is really important. I was like, oh, that must come up in book two or three or later. And then the other people reading it for the first time just go, well, it's not really important. They just mention, it doesn't mean anything. It's just gibberish. Why is it just gibberish? And I'm reading it, you know, looking back and going, oh, yeah, I get that. So it's interesting to see people reading along for the first time or the second time and getting that same, okay, at the end of this chapter, what do you think? At the end of this chapter, what do you think? And it's actually, it's fun to see people taking the same journey as I did. There, that's what I was going to mention about goodreads.com. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there, and you can read my blog, which is also very good. I'm posting photos and videos and music and essays and all that kind of stuff there all the time. If you want to know how to get my job, I work on cruise ships as an entertainer, as a guest entertainer on cruise ships. I wrote an interesting post about that. Maybe you can see a little bit about my career and other stuff there. So check out my blog. It's lukeburridge.com/blog. And finally, to make it easy for you to keep track of old episodes and books that I've already reviewed, go to sfbrp.com and click on the episode lists, and you'll see every episode so far in a big list. There's links to each of the blog posts, links to Wikipedia, links to Amazon, links to Goodreads and all of these things, and the episodes are arranged by date order, like episode number order, and by star rating and by author. So you can, if you're going to recommend a book and you think, well, has he already read and reviewed this, go there and press Control F or Command F and search for the book right there on the episode list page. It's the best way to keep track of what I've done so far. This review, this episode has gone on long enough. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for sticking through to the end of this. Hopefully you enjoyed the review, and I'll catch you next time.